You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
But the Cowboys have made too many mistakes.
The Rich Eisen Show.
I don't have any concerns. I'm proud to be standing here today.
Earlier on the show, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer, NFL Network analyst Maurice Jones-Drew, Raiders defensive end Max Crosby. Coming up from the new film Scream, actress Neve Campbell. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on your air. I am your humble host, sitting here on NBC Sports on Peacock, Sirius XM Channel 85. This Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio outfit smart enough to have us. We're live on Odyssey as well. Basically, there's no way to avoid us. We say hello to our podcast listeners listening to us on demand whenever they darn please. And that's, you know, your prerogative. That's what podcasts are all about. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman and Mike Del Tufo.
Hey,
in their chairs. TJ Jefferson in your spot.
What
good to
Rich.
See you. The wild card weekend is in the books. We're all put to bed right there.
How'd it work for you? Because a lot of discussion I'm seeing this morning on Twitter, some polls out there, if they like the Monday night game or not, like whether it was 3-3 was good like last year or
the
2-3-1. How did you feel?
Here's the deal. As by the way, you can call in and talk to us about it. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Neve Campbell is here in person, in studio, here part of our third hour of the program. Scream, the top movie in America. Scream is back, and boy, people are digging it. And so Neve Campbell in studio in about 20 minutes time right here as we talk pop culture and sports every single day with you. It's just fun watching football whenever you put it on the screen. The games weren't very compelling this weekend.
Yeah.
Okay, the only one that was compelling was the fact that Dallas and the 49ers, took it all the way down. Obviously, the Raiders and the Bengals
that was a good game.
Had an interesting finish.
I just mean the concept.
There wasn't a single lead change in the second half all season, all weekend long.
I just mean the concept of a Monday night playoff game.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I think it will be great. Let's see if the Rams are less than on Sunday in Tampa, not just because of Tampa and Tom Brady, who, you know, we've heard is good at the football.
Yeah.
But, you know, they got the short week. We'll see how that one goes. I don't know. But, you know, last night's game really wasn't much of a game, right? I mean, the Rams just spanked Arizona. And tell me how I should take this one, Chris.
Okay.
One day may you bring Cage here, your baby boy who turns two next month?
Two right? next month.
Okay, great. So doing Westwood One's coverage of Monday Night Football on radio at the site, as opposed to in studio, brought my 10-year-old Coop there last night.
Love it.
Because he's got, you know, he's kind of interested in not just football, but he kind of gets the idea of, you know, television and broadcasting. He kind of gets the idea of down and distance, and he gets into the minutiae of it. And I thought maybe he'd like to see behind the scenes of this sort of thing. And so I take him there. Kevin Kugler's calling the game. He's so good at it. And he was so nice to Cooper. He showed him his boards, you know, where you have the names and numbers all down.
Right.
And there, you know, offense and defense is here. And then you flip the card over when the other team's on offense, the other team's on defense and all that stuff. Saw that. Kurt Warner, who he knows, Kurt. you know, watched me at work, put his headsets on, saw what, you know, a spotter calling out the action for the announcer. Like, he saw all the nuts and bolts and behind the scenes.
Was Coop guest spotting?
Huh?
Coop guest spot?
He did not guest spot. I left that to the professionals, the paid professionals, instead of the 10-year-olds. Because it's a couple of times he was just talking about what was on the big Oculus screen just as we were getting set to come back on the air during the pregame, you know?
Yeah.
But he understands. You know, he gets it. And it was kind of me having a nice father-son moment.
It's awesome.
You know, like we have broadcasters here on the show, like, you know, Joe talking about Jack Buck taking him in the booth. And, you know, you never know. Like, this is the sort of stuff
Just look at Ian and now his son Noah.
Exactly. You're like, you know, this is the sort of stuff I was thinking about.
Yeah.
So we get home and, you know, his older brother, Zan, 13, and he's 10, and his younger sister, 8, and Susie, who is a broadcast professional, and asks him, you know, about the game.
Right.
The thing he brings up first, isn't
can I guess
anything that I just mentioned, but rather the fact that at the end of the third quarter, there was a fight in the stands. And from our
perch, the radio booth perch,
you could see down into it and how one guy, when security came over, one of the guys shoved the security guy.
Wow.
And this was totally, like, that's what he said.
Like a Rams game, Mike.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm what the hell is that?
It's a match.
And here I am, like, having, you know, delusions of grandeur. I don't know. But, I mean, but you never know what a kid takes in. Like, literally.
Or just what they notice.
6 months from now, he could talk about something about this night. You have no idea what they hear and compartmentalize. But he's like, and I'm like, no, that's not what we're talking about. And this is no. Like, you could talk about anything. Odell Beckham Jr. throwing a pass.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, something from the game. Anything from the game.
No.
What did you think he was going to say?
I thought he was going to talk about the candy bar.
The candy bar that he snagged?
Yeah.
No.
Because that's what MJD said.
And yeah, more stuff. Because I did take him. I'm like, come on, man. You want to see what a press room feedback looks like? This is why half the people in media are in media.
Freebies.
You know?
Free stuff.
Kids, man.
That's funny.
The brawl.
Who won the fight?
I think it was a draw.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was a draw.
They both got it.
But it was one of those where it started, and then you heard the entire section of fans. And you know, in SoFi, it's a loud building because they got that canopy over it. Wow. And it just keeps, it's like putting a lid on a boiling pot.
It's loud.
You know, and it was one of those that it you know, it wasn't Suns in Four type fast.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like it lingered and it shoved and it went up and down an aisle. And then the guy shoved back and Cooper. And Kurt Warner's son was there too. Cade's the one who pointed it out. I'm like, dude, you're pointing out to my 10-year-old there's a fight in the stands.
Hey, Coop, look down
and
here.
And he was in it.
Look down here.
Maybe he wants to be a boxing announcer.
I mean, Michael Buffer was there.
He announces the team coming in.
By the way.
It's great.
I have so many questions.
Dude, last night, folks, it was lit in there. Because again, this was the first playoff game in this palace, this $5.5 billion palace and change palace. The Super Bowl is going to be there in less than a month. Okay. It was 4 weeks from Sunday. Here we are on this Tuesday. And so the place was just rocking like crazy. And it's going crazy and everyone's lined up and the crowd's going nuts and they're not kicking it off. They stopped. And because I am, you know, the broadcasting professional, I looked for, what is that, the red hat? The guy who's down on the field.
Red shirt, hat. Too.
Okay.
Red
hat. There's somebody who's down on the field who's connected with the broadcast truck that has, like, puts up the X to say, we're not yet. Not yet. We're not ready yet.
Yep.
And when they motion their arms, they're like, the TV broadcast is back, and now you can play. So I looked for that guy, and the guy was going like this. And I'm like, And I looked at the ESPN broadcast, and they were on the air. And I'm like, what is happening? They were waiting for Michael Buffer to get in position to welcome everybody to get ready to Rumble.
Yeah.
He does it every in the corner.
Does he do it for every Rams home game?
Yes. He's like right in front of my seats. Yeah, he's like that. They come out right there, and he's like, I can see him
a couple times.
He does
times.
It for
yeah.
every
he's
home
like right
game?
On the end. Yeah.
He's got to be getting seven figures. For
he
that,
might
right?
be. He might have been getting paid more than some of the broadcasters there that last night.
Players.
For the season. Some of the players. He probably, if the Rams hired him to do Let's Get Ready to Rumble for 8 home games and a playoff game.
I mean, he owns that.
He probably gets more than the league minimum NFL player for that.
Yeah, I would think you're right.
Judging by his suit and George Hamilton tan. He's rocking
is.
It.
Oh, no.
Just
he's,
transportation. He probably gets
I've
a helicopter.
I've passed him a couple times. It's like, yeah, he's.
Well, anyway, that's what happened soon. Last night.
It's great. Good for Buffer.
But Cooper, my son, hey, how did it go? He gets home. Mom says, how'd it go? He talks about the fight in the stands. That's the first thing out of his mouth.
That's fantastic. I mean,
oh, my gosh.
I mean, bitch, he's 10.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean?
Okay. Let's get ready for our in-studio guest. She has been here for a bit, so let's get her out of our green room and get her right here. We've got a clip. We've got a whole full-on conversation.
We got
a Hollywood true or false, too, right?
We do.
Okay,
yeah.
There's some things in her biography that's been out there on the old Wikipedia or whatever. We got questions. As you know, we ask this of many celebrities here.
Of course.
You know? Ed Norton telling a story about on the set of Rounders. No, not the set of Rounders.
No, they played in the actual World Series.
Yes, he played in the World Series of Poker that year. That was a great one, right? Tyrese saying that he's got an actual Benihana in his backyard.
He has a real full-functioning Benihana, and then he put a dry cleaning service in his garage.
Right.
He bought all the equipment so he can just get his clothes dry cleaning on his premises.
Jodie Foster confirming she had no idea who Jeff Van Gundy was. Okay. All right. Let's take a break. When we come back in studio, in person, from Scream in theaters near you right now, Neve Campbell, don't go anywhere. And then Mike Tomlin's going to be talking later on before the end of this show.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Joining us here live in our Los Angeles studio, one of the stars of the hit film, which I think you've probably heard that phrase before, involved with Scream. Neve Campbell, good to see you here on
Thank
the Rich
you.
Eisen Show. How are you?
I'm great.
Congrats on everything going on with Scream.
Crazy.
Isn't it crazy, though? Because I can only imagine that you probably never thought you'd be doing 25
years later.
right?
25 years later.
Right.
A long time.
That is a long time.
No, I never imagined we'd still be here and still be doing well.
Okay, so yeah. Let's take a look before we get started on our conversation with everything. Here is a clip of Scream in theaters near you.
Hello?
Hey, Sid, it's me.
Do we? Oh, my God. How are you?
Sid, it's happening again. Some idiot in a ghost face mask. 3 attacks so far. But something about this one just feels different. Do you have a gun?
I'm Sidney Prescott. Of course I have a gun.
Oh, that's now... When you see that line in the script, you're like, okay, I got it, right?
I actually added that line.
You see?
I know, so I'm really...
Is that
sorry.
Right?
Yeah. I think originally they had me just say, yeah. And then we carried on the scene. I was like, wait a second, there's an opportunity here.
Okay. So you saw it and took it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, when you do that, do you not tell anybody and you just
do
that?
Oh, no, I told
that?
Them. We put it in the script. I told them what I thought the rewrite should be.
Okay.
That line.
Oh, so that is that just you being nice? Because... You know, in my time of being, you know, on the set of playing myself on CSI Miami, I would just, you know,
just sit, throw it in there and
yeah,
surprise them.
Yeah, yeah, just, you know, and see how David Caruso reacts.
Not so much with a big studio movie. They don't really go for that.
No, but that's a good one. I'm Sidney Prescott. Of course I have a gun.
Yeah.
Sold.
Yeah.
Sold. Okay. And so the fact that people are into this has got to be just so exciting for you.
So exciting. I mean, right? the older audience, the old fans are just lining up down the street. My husband's, he's got friends in London, and they said they were lining up around the block in London.
Which
was just delicious. And so exciting that there's a new audience getting into it, obviously, as well. And
right.
Yeah, very exciting.
Right. So, and again, Scream is in theaters near you, starring you. And obviously, you got some of the OGs, if you will,
David
back
Arquette,
together.
Courtney Cox.
Right.
Yeah.
And so what was that like for you to be back on this set?
I love stepping back into Sidney's boots. I mean, these movies, you can't take it too seriously. I mean, they're mm-hmm. great horror films and they're great entertainment, and you just commit and have fun, and it's like going back to summer camp on these films, honestly. Our first experience was like being at summer camp. We were in Santa Rosa, California. We were all at the very beginnings of our careers. And
right, and you were...
First lead in a movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I had done a year of Party of Five, and I had done stuff in Canada, theater and dancing. But this
right.
was, yeah, it was a big deal for me. So
like, yeah, that's one of the things I want to get into here. Nev Campbell here on the Rich Eisen Show, because somebody had to knock Spider-Man and his whole thing off of the top of the box office charts, Scream in theaters near you. So how did you first come across Scream and Wes Craven back in the day? How did that first come across your desk?
My team called and said, you have an audition. And I read the script, and it, you know, it's a page turner, mm-hmm. which I figure you can imagine, because the movie is that you just like edge of your seat. And
right.
I knew it was good. I knew they had like lightning in a bottle, that it was a great, but for me, I just had to go through the process and audition and do screen tests. And yeah, as I said, it was my first lead in a movie. I had done The Craft that year as well.
Right.
But I was like girl number 4 in that, basically. So it was really exciting, really exciting. Wes Craven, I had not seen, I was not a big fan of horror movies, to be honest, just because they really scare me.
I don't blame you.
But I knew how talented Wes was, and that, you know, he was a big deal in this genre. And so yeah, it was really exciting when I got it.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up a baseball fan, and I talk football for a living.
Right.
You know, it's kind of crazy how things like, it's not like I wasn't into football, but,
yeah.
You know, it's, I'm not really into that. You know, I like going to escape.
Yeah.
Not seeing people escape death.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
That's kind of the way that I go about it.
Mm-hmm.
But so when you first got onto the set of Scream, mm-hmm. what was Wes Craven like? I mean, may he rest in peace. But what was that experience like for you?
You know, actually, the screen test was the first time I had my meeting with him. And he was this tall, slender, gentle man with a gray beard. He was a professor, actually, a history professor, before he was a horror filmmaker.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I am. He was a very intelligent, well-educated man, amazing man. And he had this gentle energy, and he literally walked into the room. He walked like a gazelle. He was so graceful.
Mm-hmm.
not what you would expect of someone with as twisted a mind.
What must his history class been like?
I know, right?
Because you're doomed to repeat so much.
Talks about the wars.
I know, exactly.
But he was just, he set the energy on set. He set the tone in the audition, calmed my nerves down, because I knew it was down to a few of us. Mm-hmm. And just very clear about what he wanted, and very open also to hearing my thoughts on what I thought the character should be. And yeah, just a beautiful, beautiful soul, honestly. Very much like a father figure to us over the years.
Nev Campbell here on The Rich Eisen Show. Did you need to be sold on the idea of doing this again?
No. I had been apprehensive at first about doing this without Wes. Because he is the reason these movies are as successful as they are, and this franchise is still going. And I thought, can anyone else do this? Mm-hmm. You know, but Matt and Tyler, the new directors, they wrote me a letter expressing the fact that they became directors because of Wes Craven, and that they made their brilliant movie Ready or Not because of Scream, and that they really wanted to honor Wes's legacy and get it right. And that meant a lot to me and gave me confidence. And they were really sweet. And the script was actually really great. And I thought, you know what, this could work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad I did it.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you have a son, correct?
I have two sons.
You have two sons. Do they trick-or-treat in the mask in any way, shape, or form like that?
Not in the mask, but I did take them to a pumpkin patch this year. And
yes.
Caspian, the older one, spotted a ghost face, like a 13-year-old boy in ghost face. He was like, Mom, look, look.
Yes.
He said, go over and tell them. I was like, well, I'm not going to walk over and be like, hey, do you know who I am?
I'm Sidney Prescott. I've got a gun.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like that movie. But, you know, that.
But it does mean something to people. Like when I open my door at Halloween and there's a ghost face and they see me, it's kind of.
Come on.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice.
That's
for them.
The treat, I imagine.
Yeah.
That's the treat part of it. Oh, my gosh. That would be kind of wild.
Yeah.
To do something like that. Nev Campbell here on The Rich Eisen Show. Okay, we have some facts here. These are okay. These are cool facts.
Okay.
But they're also interesting facts that I need to know if are true or false, because so many things that get written up in Wikipedia and on IMDb pages aren't.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so here we go. We have production value involved in this, too. Go ahead and hit it right here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Celebrity, true or false?
You can't handle the truth.
That's it. That's the.
I like it. Very good. Very good.
Thank you. Oh, I got a round of applause. Nev Campbell. Okay. First up, true or false? Nev Campbell, celebrity. True or false? True or false? You once auditioned for Baywatch, but you were turned down by the casting director because you were too pale. Is that true or false?
I definitely auditioned for Baywatch, and it's very likely that my pallidity, is that a word? Paleness?
Yes, your paleness. Yes.
Might have had something to do with it, but I don't know if that's the very reason.
Okay, do you know what the very reason is?
I don't.
Well, neither do we.
I don't think I want to know.
Because this is something, you know, I don't know, spray tans can fix this sort of thing, you know. But you did audition for Baywatch?
I did,
when?
Yeah.
How long ago was this?
So when I came to Los Angeles, it was 2 weeks after the big earthquake, and I couldn't get in a door anywhere. And I had 3 auditions. One was Party of Five, one was Baywatch, and one was something else. And within, you know, I got Party of Five within 2 weeks of getting here.
So you're the ones who told Baywatch to pound sand.
Yeah.
By the way, I just made that up. That just came
it's
to me. To Baywatch
good.
To pound sand.
Well done.
I mean, literally, I'm just, you know, I'm trying to bring my A game here. Okay, so you got here, because I'm trying to remember. So that was 94. Was that earthquake, I think, or 94 was that earthquake?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so you just get here and your first audition is Party of Five? That was...
Yeah, I had actually come hoping to find an agent or a manager, and a lot of offices were shut, and people were like, we don't even have an office right now, we can't take you in. And some, I had done a movie the week in Toronto, and the producers had said, why don't you meet, we're sharing offices with this woman, Arlene Forrester, who... Mm-hmm. Has just started managing, and she wants to meet you. And she said, you know, while you're looking for an agent or manager, why don't I send you on a few things? And one of the things she sent me on was Party of Five. Yeah.
Okay. And then, but I have another fact here. I might be going out of order, Hoskins. Celebrity true or false with Nev Campbell. Your first gig was a Coke commercial at the age of 17 with Brian Adams. Is that true or false?
It was one of my first gigs. My first gig was Phantom of the Opera. when I was 15.
But that's the real like deal on stage, right?
Yeah, that was the original Canadian cast. So I did that for 2 years. I did 800 shows.
At age 15, you did 800 shows?
Yeah. Had my Sweet 16 in the green room.
Okay, I'll bite. What does a Sweet 16 look like in a green room?
People in masquerade costumes bringing me a cake and singing opera singers singing me happy birthday.
No kidding.
Pretty sweet, yeah.
Okay.
But yes, so I did do a Coke commercial with Brian Adams. That was probably maybe my second or third commercial, like on camera.
We got the,
there I am in a t-shirt and socks. With crimped hair.
Crimped? Well, I mean, this is the way it was. We were rolling back in that day. After you had hair to crimp, that had to be big for you with Brian Adams, right?
Oh my gosh, it was so exciting.
A girl from Guelph, you know? I mean, right?
So
the Guelph girl meeting Brian, like he's
He was a big deal in Canada. I mean, he's a big deal anywhere.
That's right, but I mean,
as a Canadian,
That's it,
very big
right?
Deal.
Like the Springsteen of Canada.
Yeah.
Would we go there? Would that
for
be
sure.
Okay?
For sure.
So the Coke commercial.
Yep.
With Brian Adams after that's amazing. All right, next one. I've got a few more of these. Neve Campbell, celebrity true or false? You Scream 2 caused you to turn down a role in Rounders because of a scheduling conflict. Is that true?
Yes. Well, there were several reasons that I was not able to do Rounders, but I was doing Party of Five, Scream 2, Drowning Mona, and they wanted to fit Rounders in there. And
it just didn't work, huh?
No.
That's a heck of a movie, though.
Yeah, Rounders. I know. It would have been good.
Are you a poker player at all?
I'm not.
You don't play cards? You don't do
anything? No. You know, I've probably only played poker 5 times, and I have to relearn every time I do.
Okay.
And the last time, actually, David Arquette took a group of us on Scream 4 to a little poker hall. In where were we? Ann Arbor. And I sat down and I was that annoying person who won like $1,300 that night and beat everybody. And I was literally just guessing. I had no idea what I was doing.
That, you know, and is delightful to hear because I wasn't there.
Yeah.
You know, because, you're saying, I don't know what I'm doing you just, rake it all in.
Yeah.
So, I went to Michigan. I went to Ann Arbor, Michigan. Mm-hmm. I don't remember poker halls there.
David can find these kinds of places.
I'm sure. So let me just break out of this construct for just a quick second. Mm-hmm. What is the craziest David Arquette story that you can share with us right here on live television? And what do you got on David Arquette? What do you got for
me? There's so many. I mean, if he throws you a birthday party, there's going to be ponies and circus acts
you're not 12 now, right?
No.
Okay.
No.
Like for adults.
For adults. Yeah, sure. Hmm. I mean, I saw a video the other day. I wasn't able to go. They did a pop in on the 14th, a bunch of the cast, and David went around in a bus and popped in theaters. And then the cast wrote me and said, did you know David owns a club? Like, of course he owns a club. So he has a club here in L.A., and they had a party night the other night.
Well,
we
had Jack Quaid here last week.
Yeah.
And he told us, Chris, this is true. Like, he's a registered Bob Ross.
Painter. Paint instructor. Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
And so
that's random.
I would say.
Yeah.
Like, that sounds like a Mad Lib, like you're just filling in the blanks of random proper nouns.
Yes.
David Arquette and Bob Ross and painting would be that sentence,
I don't know. David, did
you take any of his classes?
Tries everything. No, I wasn't there yet, unfortunately. I really wish I had. It would have been fun. But it was a really nice for the younger cast to bond. He bought them all a Bob Ross kit and set them up and did lessons for them. And they all made Bob Ross paintings.
Yeah, well, Jack said that. I asked him what he did with that. He said he painted happy little trees, is what he said. That was his answer.
Or
happy little
like.
Clouds or something like that. I'm just wondering, with the kit, does that include the afro too? what comes in the kit? The palette or whatever? The palette, right.
Palette that you hold to paint on the.
There you go.
Okay. All right. I got 2 more for you. Neve Campbell, we're back now. Celebrity true or false? You dislocated your knee dropping from a helicopter to snowboard on a glacier in the Canadian Rocky Mountains before you shot The Company. Is that a true story?
Yes. And had never snowboarded before. Clever.
So
woman.
You play poker better than you snowboard.
Yeah. No. So an ex of mine thought it would be a good idea to learn how to snowboard in the glaciers in the Rocky Mountains.
Dropping from a helicopter?
Dropping from a helicopter. I mean, listen, you drop out of the helicopter and then you snowboard down. You know what I mean? You get out of the helicopter and then the helicopter meets you at the bottom. And then you get, yeah.
Okay.
So I had done actually the first half of the day on the board really well because I'm a dancer, so I have good balance. I figured it out. So I had figured out how to go really fast.
Yes.
But I hadn't figured out how to stop. And on my last run before lunch, because it's always the last run before lunch mm-hmm. when you injure yourself, we're going down, and I'm coming up, and I see the helicopter sort of up this hill, and I think, I'm not going to slow down. I'm just going to keep my speed and keep going. And the teachers or mm-hmm. the guides are like trying to catch up to me and saying, no, but I'm not listening. Mm-hmm. And I come up the top, and there's a cliff, and I don't know how to stop. So I had to throw my body, dislocated my knee. And then started howling. And my friends at the top were like, was that a moose? But no, it was me.
It was you.
Yeah, it was me.
Oh,
and
my
yes, it was
God.
Right before I had been training already 6 months, 8 hours a day to do a movie called The Company. And I was trying to convince Robert Altman to direct the movie. And so I would literally go fly to New York, take the brace off outside of Bob's office and walk in and pretend I was fine.
Did he buy it?
He bought it. He didn't know about it. I told him after we made the movie.
Robert Altman, now that's, yeah. you can't get any bigger than that now.
No, you can't.
But you started off your relationship with him by not being straight up and honest with him.
It's
okay,
good, right?
Let's be honest about
good
that,
to
too.
Start.
Okay. Yeah, I have a problem skiing with stopping, too.
Yeah.
I can't, that's why I just don't really.
Do it at all.
Well, no, I'm an après skier.
Okay.
I'm a gold medalist when it comes to that.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, last one for you. Is it true that when you hosted Saturday Night Live and you were told that the music guest was David Bowie, you did not know who David Bowie was at the time?
Sadly, yes. That is true.
I don't mean to. I mean, I just.
Wasted on me, right?
Like, not wasted.
Kinda.
I mean, I'm sure that had to be. This is 97.
Yeah.
So this is early on in everything going on with you.
I was
your
in the dance. I grew up in the dance world. I was so ballet. I could tell you anything about any dance company, but knew nothing about.
Including Spandau Ballet?
Probably not.
All right.
But didn't know a lot about pop culture at the time. So had my education prior, like a few days prior to meeting Bowie. I was like cramming Bowie.
This is it. You know what? I'm just going to say what pops into my mind. So my wife, and the reason why I'm saying current wife is that I don't plan on having another one.
Good.
What I'm saying is that when my wife, I first met her and I knew that she was the one for me. Took a while though for that to be realized mutually.
So
I was meeting her family for the first time, and she's just like, come meet us. We're having dinner at Nobu in New York City.
Yes.
Which, for those who may not know, is, you know,
fancy.
For sushi, right?
Yeah.
I'd never had sushi before in
my entire
life.
Wow.
So my friends took me to some spot on like the Upper East Side so I could kind of get the idea of what I was doing.
Yeah.
And I don't like spicy food. They like avoid that green stuff, you know, with the plague. So similar to you. So did you see like even a warm-up band for David Bowie before? Like,
you know,
did
you, it was my
like
first,
a cover band,
my,
like a Bowie cover
no,
band moving
No, but my
up?
First experience was when you were hosting SNL, on the day, the band go up and they rehearse prior. So I got to watch him myself with just a few people rehearsing his gig prior
to.
I know. You know what you'll hate is my first football game.
By the way, that's not a good way to start a sentence. You know what you'll hate.
My first football game I ever went to was a Super Bowl. And I couldn't tell. I could not even now tell you which one I went to. And
oh
I was
God.
In a commercial for it because it was Party of Five and it was Fox at the time.
Okay, so we can figure this out.
No,
we can figure this out. This is very simple. Where was it? Where was this?
Miami, I think.
Yeah.
Miami.
It's got to be 98.
So that makes sense, right? Party of Five.
98.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be 98.
So
I worked that one, yeah.
That's
Miami. Super,
so that 90.
That's Broncos and Falcons or Broncos Packers?
I don't know.
Oh, my goodness. So
Denver Broncos.
This is amazing.
It's Broncos.
This, by the way, first of all, I don't hate this. Secondly. This is amazing. So you host Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
David Bowie is your musical guest.
Yes.
And that's the way you're introduced to David Bowie.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, so it would have been.
You have never been to a football game before.
No.
And you go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and I was that annoying person going, so how does the scoring work?
You don't know how to play poker.
99 Broncos Falcons.
Okay.
Yeah. There you go.
There it is.
That sounds great.
We got it. You don't know how to play poker.
Yeah.
You go to a poker hall and you win four figures of money.
Yeah.
God
bless
Elway's
you, last game.
John Elway's last game.
Yeah.
By the way, that's a big to okay. do.
Big deal.
It's a big to do.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
What else do I need to know? This is amazing. Yeah. Okay, so that was a party of five. Like everybody gets together
on
Fox.
We had it. I think we were on the.
Yeah, you guys were on the big jumbotron.
Yeah,
I remember this.
Yeah.
All right, we did it.
Well, we know Scott Wolf. He must have been all over that.
Yeah,
he must have been psyched about that.
Yeah, he was super psyched.
Did he give you a little bit of assistance?
I think he didn't want to explain the scoring to me at the time.
Well, because he's locked in on the actual event. The actual event, and you're like
probably the only time Scott Wolf wasn't the most polite human being on earth.
That's right, exactly. Tell me, David Bowie played the halftime. Please tell
actually,
me that.
Kiss just was in the pregame show. I know that for. Yeah, I remember that one.
Kiss was pregame.
Kiss was definitely in the pregame show. I believe. Yeah.
Oh, here's the other one.
Okay.
Weekend,
all right.
The Weekend.
Yeah.
Played the Super Bowl. Was it
just
this
last
recently?
Year? Yeah, right. I think.
So
yeah.
I didn't know who he was, but I do remember the performance. And then just like a couple or like 10 days ago, he dropped his new album and he talks about me in one of his songs.
Okay.
And my Jennifer Allen, my publicist, who you know very well,
right
goes,
there.
Nev, The Weeknd, do you want to hear you're involved in one of his songs? And I went, which weekend? Last weekend?
No. Nev Campbell, everybody.
Halftime show, Gloria Estefan, Stevie Wonder, Big Bad Voodoo Daddy.
Does that ring a bell? Yeah.
Big Band Voodoo Daddy. What? So what?
Swing music.
I love the Big Band Voodoo Daddy. I do know.
Oh, man. Well, this is as delightful as I hoped as it would be. Scream is currently playing in theaters nationwide. It is the number one movie in America. Please go see it with you and all your friends and do it multiple times. Nev Campbell, this has been great. Thanks for coming on. I can't wait to your next time that you're here. We'll learn so much more about you. Nev Campbell here on The Rich Eisen Show. We're back with more in a moment. Don't go away.
Thank you.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
How delightful was that, right?
Got the Mary Brockman stamp of approval. My mom texted, "She's so adorable." 5 exclamation points.
Can confirm.
Yes.
Confirmed.
That was fun.
Awesome.
Yeah, my Staten Island buddies, when they found out Susie was taking me, or I was going to join her and her family
that
at Nobu.
That is amazing. I never.
They knew that I don't know anything about sushi or anything like that. They're like, my boys took me out. They're like, you can't do that. Like, you need to understand what you're ordering and how you're ordering. And they also know that I can't do spicy food, so any touch of wasabi.
Oh, wasabi would have been like.
They're like, do not touch that.
And there's certain sushi, if you get it's automatically hot. I know
that. I know that. And
it's like
I just.
Pretty woman. You needed the run through.
It was like that.
Did you let Susie like order? Like, what do you like? I would have been that.
Excuse me. Mike, you know my wife.
Yes, I know Susie.
She orders for me to this day.
So there was no problem with that. You were perfect.
No, of course. No, I went in there and I'm like, yeah, you know, you bet. I don't know.
I still haven't had sushi, Rich.
Oh, yeah, me neither.
I've been here 21 years.
I hear you. It is like going to your first football games of the Super Bowl. Your first introduction to a musical act is David Bowie. You know, I mean, like that's what it's like. Amazing. That's the food version. That's the only thing I could think of in my head that I've had that experience. You know, like it's, you know. The bill came and it was definitely like, yes, there you go. There you go, Barbara.
Did you do the fake like, oh?
Oh, no, I didn't. I didn't do the reach either. No, I mean, I was part of the family. I was part of that. Like, what am I going to get? Like, just get off that one tuna roll that because I didn't eat a damn thing. I was just like, I was like looking around and I was just like, okay, I'll just observe. I'm observing.
Yep.
I'm observing. Just like that, you know.
I'd love to take
just want
Brock
you all to
TJ
like me because I really like, you know, this person who I'm hoping to marry one day.
and they're like, Susie, he won't eat sushi. Forget him.
Yeah, he's out.
He's out.
He didn't eat the sushi.
Oh, no, that was, I mean, you know.
He didn't eat the sushi.
That's amazing that being in New York, you never had it at that point. Wow.
Yeah, no.
I didn't
so
have
my boys
I
took me
here.
To some spot so on the true. Upper East Side that I don't even know where it is. I don't even know if the place exists anymore. You know, I mean, that's so funny.
That is amazing.
You're going to hate this. First football game we went to is the Super Bowl. Okay.
All right, I found video online of the fight at the Rams game.
Oh, no, you did not. Send it to Coop's iCloud.
Are we sure that's the only fight that exists?
Well, no, this is just a fight. I mean, there's usually many at the Rams game.
I'll take a look and see where it is.
Yeah.
Could be both.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Just a delightful chat with Nev Campbell. Screen made, I think, more like $35 million over the weekend in a pandemic.
Just crushing.
You know? Hey, my friends at NetSuite want me to make sure that you know about this one-of-a-kind financing offer that's going on right now with NetSuite by Oracle, which you should upgrade to if you are just like me running businesses. I've upgraded to NetSuite by Oracle, and I'm sure you will as well. Because if you have poor visibility because you're still relying on spreadsheets and outdated finance software, to see the full picture, you need to upgrade because with NetSuite by Oracle, it's the number one cloud financial system that powers your growth. You've got visibility and control right there in front of you. So you want to control your financials? It's right there. Inventory, HR. I really don't have to deal with inventory. HR, you damn straight. Look at you guys. All due respect.
Well, I'm head of HR.
Planning. Oh, my God. Well, we need to have a Zoom then. Budgeting and more. NetSuite is everything you need to grow all in one place. And with NetSuite, you can automate all of it. Close your books in no time. Stay well ahead of your competition. Over 28,000 businesses already use NetSuite. And for the new year, NetSuite is a new financing program for those ready to upgrade and find out what you should. NetSuite.com/rich. Head to NetSuite.com/rich for this special one-of-a-kind financing offer on the number one financial system for growing businesses. NetSuite.com/rich. Gary in Michigan's been holding on forever today. What's up, Gary? Thanks for hanging on.
Hey, Rich, how you doing? Great show. Love listening.
Thank you, pal. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to talk about the hiring of head coaches, how the teams, they rush into it. There's a few names that get Quinn's the big name right now, Eric the Enemy, all that stuff. So the Lions, let's bring Detroit into it. Shout out Jeff of Detroit. You know, the first guy they interviewed was Robert Saleh, and he had roots. He had family in Dearborn.
Yes, he did, for sure.
Like, this is going to be a good fit. He's defensive-minded, and the players love playing for him in San Francisco.
Yep.
And then you didn't hear, like, after he left town, you didn't really hear anything, and the Jets was like, well, that guy got away, another great name that would have been great for the Lions, and they wound up hiring Dan Campbell, and after the first press conference,
yeah.
I mean, most people were quick to judge that he's like a meathead biting off kneecaps, but if you look at Dan Campbell, I mean, he was an assistant head coach for Peyton down in New Orleans. He had coached the Dolphins for 9 games as an intern coach. He's a tight end. And right away this year, the Lions, for the first time since I can remember in 30 years, they have an identity. They run the football. He is building the team from the offense and defensive line, and he's going out. They've got Brad Holmes, who built the team in Los Angeles, the Rams, to help with the draft. He hired coaches around him to help him. And I think it's a good example as to there's not just one guy out there. It's not just like you can't, oh, if we miss Dan Quinn or
right.
What are the Cowboys going to do if they lose? There's a ton of guys out there that if you have an identity or if you look at your team, which the Ford family it appears, I think they've got it right this time. They've got a general manager and the head coach on the same page. They were so excited to draft Penei Sewell when he landed to them at number 7. They were jumping up and down.
Yeah, I saw that. I remember that. They were doing like chest bumps and everything like that. I do remember that. Yeah. Now, here's the one thing I will counsel you is that you got to do it again. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, and you got to keep doing it. And you know, Matt Rhule right now, a lot of people are wondering if he's the right fit after year one. That wasn't really much of a question. You know, Cliff Kingsbury, you could see that right now, about whether he's the right guy. And, you know, he's proven that he can win football games in certain time periods of the season, but not at all. And so I guess I would counsel to say that, yes, Dan Campbell does appear to be a good fit right now, but let's see what years 2 and 3 look like for you. But, you know, you may have watched more Lions football than I did, to be very honest. But to me, you know, what I think the neat identity of the Lions was this year was anybody can play. You know, anybody can play.
Yeah.
And, you know, come one, come all, you want to compete, you want to, you know, you've got an opportunity here, and we don't care what draft choice you were or how many teams that you've bounced around or what practice squad you've been on. And man, that kid St. Brown was a perfect example of it. And Reynolds and a whole bunch of other players that yes, I know the Packers sat their starters and they didn't need the game. But that was just fun to watch him do what they did, and they'll just come at you. And that, I know everyone made fun of his press conference, but whatever the kneecaps and hunks of were on other teams, they did it. They kept taking it out of you.
Yeah.
And they didn't quit. They didn't quit ever. Even when they were getting blown out, no, they didn't come back and quit the next week.
Yeah.
You know?
So, Rich, here's a turning point for me was when they go to Los Angeles and they're going to play Stafford and they're 0-4, they're going to get blown out. Stafford, you know, they're terrible.
Yeah, not at all.
And they opened the game with onside kick, fake punt. They fake punted again. I guess what I'm trying to say is if you can find guys, like it's easy, like Byron Leftwich, he's great, and he's with Brady right now. It's easy to pick the guys that are visible, that are on winning teams. But there are guys, there are probably a ton of guys like Dan Campbell that are qualified. He was a tight end. Like, he played in the league. You know, years 2, 3, and 4, we have to see. But there are guys out there that have the pedigree. They know how to talk to the players. They know how to relate. They're not super old, where they're out of touch with social media and all that. There's just it's okay to take your time and do your due diligence. You can still find a quality coach and general manager even a month from now.
Thanks for the call, Gary. Gary, thanks for holding on and appreciate the quality chat right there. There you go. Do we just talk about Detroit Lions football for 2 minutes on a national radio and television show that just happened? What did I tell you earlier this year that they're going to be must-see television every week? They got blown out by Philly, and they got blown out by Seattle, and then made it a game, and then got totally blown out. Mm-hmm. But pretty much every other time, it was fun to watch them.
Is Goff their starter next year?
Great question. I think so. I think he is. Now, the question is what about the Pittsburgh Steelers? Who's their starter now? Here we go. Jeez. Here we go. Here we go.
It's going to be fun.
Mike Tomlin, press conference today, wrapping up the season. This is what he had to say.
Just for clarity's sake, is the organization operating under the assumption that Ben will not be playing next year? And do you think Mason and or Dwayne Haskins is ready to be an everyday starting quarterback in this league?
You know, we are proceeding with that assumption. Both guys, Mason and Dwayne, have had their moments, but they'll have to prove that And not only in not only in the team development process, but through playing itself. Man, quarterback mobility is valued, not only by me, but everyone. It's just a component of today's game, and increasingly so.
I would love to see a mobile quarterback in the Pittsburgh Steeler outfit. Ooh, and Mike Tomlin being the head coach of somebody who plays like Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen or Kyler Murray. I don't know. I kind of think that I'll just throw darts here, but I think I've got a good idea. I think he'd probably want somebody taller and more a bigger mobile quarterback, not Kyler Murray. Like, that's not what he's looking for.
Right.
You know, and the Steelers being in the market for a quarterback is just a fascinating development. We have not seen it since NFL Network was 1 month old. That is the fact. That is the fact.
Like 2004.
Yeah.
Patriots last year looking for a quarterback. Now the
Steelers. Well, we didn't know if they'd be in the market for a quarterback coming into the draft.
We thought they might draft one.
They got Cam.
They brought him back on a one.
They secured him. And then went into the draft with a plan, and circumstances met their plan. You know, they held like Braveheart. And they got Mac Jones dropped to them. They didn't move up the board. They didn't do anything.
Yeah.
I mean, Steelers in the market for a quarterback. It sounds to me like, will they draft one second, third round? Who's the mobile quarterback? Is Kenny Pickett and his fake sliding the guy?
What about Malik Willis from Liberty? That guy was a hot name all year.
Wouldn't that be just awesome?
He would look really fun there.
You know what would be wild? Just like Deontay Johnson catching the ball like a couple times. He drops him, man. He's so talented, but you just got to grab it. This is so fascinating to me. So this is the next step, folks. As every team is done with their season, now starts the non-playing season for them and the talent evaluation. But Mason Rudolph ain't the guy. You know, quarterback mobility is valued. He sees it. He sees it twice a year, man. Joey Burrow can move around a little bit, you know? And so he sees it. He knows it. He sees what Josh Allen's got. Like right now, take a look at the teams you're going to have to beat in the AFC that are left. None of them just stand back there. Tannehill moves, guys. I know he gets a lot of crap because of what happened in Miami, and all of what happens for Tennessee is ascribed to the coach or the running back or the defense. Very little of it is placed at just like how well Ryan Tannehill plays. But you take a look at it, you're going to have the mobile quarterbacks there, right? That would be fun. So you've got the Steelers needing to beat Josh Allen. You need to beat Patrick Mahomes. You got to beat Lamar Jackson in your own house. That's what's kind of weird about Mac Jones did move, right? He picked up a first down with his legs.
I mean, the first drive he was running.
Zach Wilson could move.
Also, Rich,
Trevor Lawrence can move. I'm being very honest here, you know.
Also, Rich, you know, I was back in Pennsylvania for Christmas. Seems like a lot of people in Western PA are still on that. Maybe it's time to move on from Tomlin thing. I'm reading newspaper articles. I'm reading texts.
And that's why Albert brought up, like, maybe some of these teams with coaching vacancies inquire about making a coaching trade. With Tomlin, Sean Payton, you're seeing those names out there.
Look, I hope everything works out for the Jets with Robert Saleh. But I just hope against hope that if it doesn't work out, that if the Jets ever have a coaching vacancy, that is the year the Pittsburgh Steelers lose their senses and let Mike Tomlin free to make a decision.
It's crazy, man, just right, reading
let
comments
me just, let me
and
just
stuff.
Say that.
Because it's high on my damn agenda.
Let me just say that as loud to anybody in Rich. Steeler faithful hashtag here we go here we nation. Go. Good luck. You want to try and move on? Good luck. What part of no losing seasons ever. Do you not understand? And I know you want the trophies in the case, and that's what they are. I get it. But you're in the tournament.
Also, Rich,
you're in the tournament.
They're in the era of Belichick. Like, no one's going to say Jerry Sloan was a bad coach. Jerry Sloan just happened to be coaching when Phil Jackson had Michael Jordan. Sure. Like, Mike Tomlin, Andy Reid, they just happened to be alive at the same time that Bill Belichick is.
Yeah, well, Brady's not going to play forever.
Brady, yes.
Yeah, he's not playing forever. That's crazy talk. That's crazy talk.
Are we sure Tom's not playing forever?
Yeah. He may be.
Thank you.
Tom's playing till 50. Thanks for that reminder. Let's just be very honest.
He may be.
Come on, man.
50.
Nah.
So I want to thank today's guests. So much fun.
This is a great show.
So much fun with Albert Breer and Maurice Jones-Drew and Max Crosby and the delightful Nev Campbell.
Let's give it up for that one.
You know who our next in-studio guest is this week, later on this week, Thursday.
Very
Sebastian Maniscalco stops.
Oh, yeah.
Love this guy.
He was at the game last night.
Oh, was he really?
He was.
Excellent. You know what game he was at, too? He was at Ohio State, Oregon, and Ohio State, Michigan. What do those two have in common? Oh, I can't wait for Sebastian to come on. My good luck charm on Thursday. Yeah.